Well, praise the Lord. The word is good.
Amen.
Amen. His mercy endures forever. He's good. You know, I opened my eyes a little bit and looked around at the seats, and man, I just got a big old smile on my face. It is so good to see your faces. And again, no pressure on the ones that didn't send a picture, however this worked, but I'd love to see all of you. Amen. Praise God. And I mean it, one of the biggest surprises and blessings I've ever received. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can't get over it. But go to John 16 and verse 33 tonight. This is the highlight of our week so far, right here. John 16, 33. Hearing what God wants to say to us. Last week was the first message in this little mini-series that we're doing called Being Prepared. And let's go ahead and pray and believe God for utterance. And believe God for boldness. Now, all these pictures, I won't expect you all to close your eyes tonight. Go ahead and just keep your eyes open, staring at me. But anyways, Father, we love you and praise you. Wow, are we glad to be in your presence, gathered around your word. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. It tells us where to go. Keeps us from the places we shouldn't go. Gets us out of the stuck places. Takes us into lands of blessing. We thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth to preach tonight, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. That my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you so much for impartation tonight, for revelation, for utterance from heaven. And Father, I thank you that bullseyes in people's hearts will be hit tonight. Father, I thank you that I'm going to say things that are so specific to their situation, to their circumstance, to their place where they're at right now in their life, and it'll be such a blessing. It'll be so timely. It'll be such a word from heaven. And Father, we'll give you the praise for that. So, Father, we thank you tonight for all that will be said. And if you want to do anything, Father, during or after this service, Father, you be God. We're here for you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been on this verse for a little while here, and we'll be on it as we're going in this series. And it's Jesus speaking here. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall," not might, not maybe, "you shall have tribulation, test, distress, trials, different things like that. You'll have tribulation, but praise God." He says, during that we can be of good cheer. If you got grumpy when I said you're going to have tests and trials, you just don't know the end of the story.
That's right.
He says, be of good cheer. Why can we be of good cheer with tests and trials? Because I, Jesus said, have overcome the world. And we have that overcomer on the inside of us.
Yes.
The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4 that he's given us a victory to overcome the world, our faith. So everything we need is found in him. We saw on Sunday, he overcame the world, didn't he? He overcame the God of that world with the greatest thing that the devil had in his arsenal, the most powerful thing the devil had, which was death. Jesus defeated that. And he's given us the authority. He's come to dwell on the inside of us, so that's why we can be of good cheer. Just the same way things came against him, he overcame them. Same way things come against us, through him, we can overcome them as well. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see here in the Word that we are promised tests in life. We are promised tests in life. And so we know right now the world is in a test. Christians are in a test. Some people have naturally been very affected by what's going on in the world right now, whether it's in their business, whether it's unemployment, whether it's in their job, whether it's their finances, whether it's in their own body, whether it's fear, whether it's worry, whatever it is, we know this, that the world's being tested right now. But I'm here to tell you, and I don't mean to be a downer, this is not the only test we're ever going to encounter. The Bible says you'll have tribulation in the world. Didn't say you'll just have one. There's tests that are coming. We saw with Jesus in the wilderness when he was tested, the Bible says that the devil left him for a season. Jesus didn't just have one test. He was tested multiple times. And so we have to be ready for these tests. Amen. Because it's up to us whether we get a passing or failing grade and get through these things. Now, we know this, and I'm not going to take time to turn there. You can if you want to, or you can just write these down. But we know that the enemy, and I just mentioned that the Bible says that the devil tested Jesus and came back at a season. We're no different than Jesus in the sense that we have the same adversary. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, for our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we know we have an adversary. We know where the tests are coming from, where the trials are coming from. We know over there, if you go over them real quick with me, you can flip me with me to this portion of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Praise God. I just say this while you're flipping and turning there. I am just so privileged to pastor these two churches. I mean it. I mean it. I love the buildings that we have. I do. Don't get me wrong. I do love the buildings. But I love what makes up the buildings, the people. And I just tell you what, I feel so loved by all you and just can't tell you how grateful I am to be your pastor. And I'm giddy. It's kind of like the kid, you know, that gets something super cool on Christmas and just can't stop talking about it and just can't stop thinking about it. And I just can't stop thinking about all of you and how blessed I am. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your love. Hopefully don't get too annoyed with me telling you I love you and miss you, because those aren't empty words. They are the truth. But Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." There it is again, telling us who our problem is, telling us who our adversary is. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God's not your problem. God's not your problem. Don't take it out on him. He's not your problem. He's your answer. Your pastor's not your problem. Amen. Hallelujah. Your spouse isn't your problem. Your boss isn't your problem. The devil's your problem. And the Bible says, it tells us something here. It says, "For we wrestle." Wrestle means to be in kind of a battle, you know, be engaged in opposition. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." What's it mean? Our problem's not in the natural realm. It says, "But against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the world, and spiritual wickedness in high places." Well, those are levels of the devil's kingdom. But what I know about the devil is this: he's not a natural being. That's why it said we don't wrestle against the natural realm. Our battle's behind the scenes in the spiritual realm against a spiritual enemy. Now, the problems manifest in the natural realm, but that's not where the issue is, praise God. And we need to be ready for these promised tests. We need to be ready for these promised tests. And a lot of people, I think, are recognizing, even during this test and trial, man, maybe I wasn't ready. Maybe my faith wasn't where it needed to be. You know, that's okay. Get your faith where it needs to be, and let's get ready for the upcoming tests, because there's more tests coming. And we know this, whether we pass or fail, it's just like when you were in school. You know, everybody in the class can take the same test. You can't blame the person to your right if you fail. You can't blame the person to your left. You can't blame your friend that's in another class. You can't blame the teacher. You have a chance to pass the test just like the next person does. Whether we pass or fail is up to us, but we got to be ready. But here's the thing, and this is where most people miss it, is our battle is not the natural realm. The battle is in the spiritual realm. So spiritually, we have to be ready spiritually. Amen. We have to be ready spiritually. Listen, when Tiger Woods is back winning all his majors and going through the run that he went through there back in his prime, you know, Tiger Woods wasn't spending all his time in the batting cages. Tiger Woods wasn't spending all his time in the gymnasium shooting free throws. Tiger Woods was not spending all his time in an art class. Tiger Woods was spending his time in the driving range. Why? That was the place, the golf course with the golf club and the golf balls. That's the place where he was going to be tested. That's the place where he was going to be victorious or not be victorious. So he was spending it there, what? Excelling in his craft. So when the opposition came, he was ready, praise God. Well, it's the same thing for Christians. Our battle's not the natural realm. But so many Christians spend all their time in the natural realm, sowing into their flesh, sowing into their mind, sowing into their bodies, recreation, exercise, knowledge, and things like that. And none of those things, there's nothing wrong with those things. Amen. If they're done not in sin, you understand what I mean. But if we're going to be ready against the one that's bringing us tests, who's so good at what he does. What do you mean? The devil is skilled at John 10:10, which is stealing, killing, and destroying. He's so good at it. He's had thousands of years to perfect his craft. He's so good at it. He knows the buttons to push. He knows what to do. And so many Christians are stepping into the arena against their adversary and their enemy, and they're built up in recreation. And they're built up in their natural body. And they have a lot of head knowledge and they're book smart. But their spirit man is weak. The very realm that we go against him from our spirit man. Now this is what I've found and I've seen, and it's true. Spiritually strong people, the ones that are spiritually strong behind the scenes, it shows up in the natural. It does. The ones that are strong behind the scenes, it shows up in the natural. And the same thing is true. Those that are weak behind the scenes spiritually, not given any time, not perfected that craft, not sowing into that realm, it shows up in the natural realm. Let me give you an example. When people start complaining, when people start griping and moaning and groaning, when people start worrying, when people are in fear, that's just a manifestation of what's being sown into behind the scenes. Because the ones that are taking time to sow in the Spirit, to do the things that we're going to talk about for the next few weeks, it doesn't translate into fear and worry and a love walk problem and a nervous and anxious and all that. And so if we want the natural to be strong, if we want the natural to thrive, the spiritual has to thrive. Praise God. And I told you, and we made kind of a joke about this, but it's all seriousness too, in the sense that, you know, the CDC right now with this coronavirus, the Center for Disease Control, they have guidelines, right? Different things with gloves, different things with masks, how you're supposed to wash your hands, what's the proper way to sneeze, what's the proper way to cough, you know? They have all these guidelines, and those guidelines are meant to keep us blessed, keep those around us blessed and healthy and well, but there's also the PMA guidelines that cannot be ignored. Because the CDC, you know, they have natural guidelines. But the PMA guidelines are for behind the scenes where the real battle is. Where do you need to be the strongest? The Pastor Mike Anderson guidelines. And to truthfully tell you, I just robbed them from the Bible. I can plagiarize with the best of them. Honestly, that's really all that I am, is a professional plagiarizer. None of this material is my own. It's his. I just take it from him. But the PMA guidelines are things we can do behind the scenes spiritually to be strong against the one that we're promised is going to bring us tests and trials. And we're going to look at one of those tonight, but those PMA guidelines that you should be doing every single day are word time, prayer time, and praise time. And if you'll begin to adopt these guidelines and put them into your natural routine every single day, make it a point every single day, you will see changes. You will begin to walk into preparation that's needed and the faith that's needed and the victory that's needed when the tests and trials show up on your doorstep. Praise God. We need to be ready because we know that these things can come out of nowhere. You ever been in school and they have a pop quiz? Oh, that ought to be another swear word. Pop quiz ought to be a curse word that no one's allowed to say. And I know we say, why? Because they did not treat me very well. And the only reason that when I walked into school and the teacher sprung a pop quiz on me, the only reason it troubled me, the only reason it depressed me, the only reason it discouraged me was because I wasn't ready. I'm thinking of different people in my classes, man, you know, the ones that graduated at the top of the class that always got straight A's. They didn't have the same look on their face or the same noises come out of them or the same look or the same body language when a pop quiz was sprung. They were ready and they weren't nervous. They weren't anxious because they were prepared. Hallelujah. And we know that our answer is what's our passing or failing grade, if we get through it or not. Hallelujah. We know in Mark chapter 4 that the Bible talks about a pop quiz coming. Jesus said, get in the boat, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And as they were going, the Bible says, there arose a great storm of wind. It wasn't there before. A great test and trial all of a sudden just came out of nowhere. And we know the disciples didn't pass that test. They need to thank their lucky stars that Jesus was on that boat, because someone with faith shut that thing down. Yeah, right. But we know this, that this is a great storm of wind right now. Shelves are empty. You don't know, different businesses closed down. Unemployment numbers are off the charts, you know, and different things like that. And economy and natural threats to your business and fears of health things. We know it's a storm right now. But we need to pass this test. Amen. Because we've learned that it depends on how we react. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, the victory happens on our faith. Not pastors, not Brother Hagin's, not Pastor Michael Laketic, not Pastor Nancy Dufresne, not whoever your pastor is. Your victory rises and falls on your faith. So we have to be ready, praise God. And on Sunday morning, I mentioned about a great storm of wind that came out of nowhere. And I want to mention that again. If you did tune in on Sunday, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I want to give a few more details on which way the Lord has led me, but also tell you that again, hopefully minus the tears. All your pictures already got all my tears out, hopefully. But we'll see. You know, sometimes I get talking about Jesus and what he's done for me, and it's just so overwhelming for my emotions. The only thing I can think to do is cry. And so hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does, bear with me. Amen. Praise God. But on Sunday morning, I'm just going to tell you exactly what happened with no exaggeration at all, but this is going to help you so much. It's amazing that what we're teaching now and what I went through about great storms of wind and being prepared with your answer have to be right for you to walk out of that test victoriously. And that's what we want. We want you to be victorious, praise God. And so Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, I had gotten up, hid the kids' baskets. They found their baskets. They opened their baskets. It's all exciting and good. And that kind of took a little bit longer. And you know, it disrupted my morning. We don't do Easter basket hunts every Sunday morning. And so it just disrupted my morning a little bit. And I was a little bit pressed for time. So I went in. Was kind of hurrying just a little bit. Went to put my socks on. And when I lifted up my leg, I felt a lightning bolt. It's the only way I can describe it, of pain. Hit my lower back. It caused me, it's pain like I've never felt before. And I am not going to be dramatic or exaggerate. I'm going to be as truthful as Jesus is my witness. And I let out a yell and I went timber because I could not stand up. And I slammed on the ground and I was laying prostrate on the ground with my face against the hardwood floor. Of course, Courtney and the kids heard that, came in running and saw me laying there, praise God. And it was quite a sight for them, I'm sure. But when I was laying there, my initial reaction was to get up off the ground. I went and made the slightest move, and I felt pain that I have not felt in my life, and I was literally glued to the ground, could not move. The slightest bit of movement of any part of my body sent pain in me like I've never experienced. Of course, they came in, and and were, you know, super upset. Caleb and Abby started bawling. You know, it went from Easter Sunday to what's going on with our dad laying there. And it was quite the test and quite the morning. And I'm going to get to more of this later, but this is what I want you to see. Had I not been prepared. Now, this is not glory. Let's raise Pastor Mike on a pedestal. We can't do anything without him. He's the vine, we're the branches. When we talk about things we've done by faith, I'm not bragging on my faith. Faith is simple, it's just agreeing with God. I am bragging on the God that moves through my faith. Amen. So don't think we're elevating. Listen, I am well aware of who I am, what I have, and who I would be without God. And so when I talk about this, we never exalt the person. We always exalt God. And faith's not what we exalt. It's the God that's moving through our faith that we exalt. So don't misunderstand me. This is not meant to come off arrogant at all. It's meant to put the spotlight on Jesus and God and His Word. However, we know we have a part to play. You know, I was, years ago, I got to work with my friend, Reverend Randy Nelbone of the Jamestown Church. His dad owns an oil and gas company, and there was a project in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania, where they were drilling, I think, 6 to 8, I can't remember how many, new oil wells. And my job was to drop down in the ditch when they would come through with the backhoe, dig out the ditch, and I put the plastic 2-inch piping down there, got a generator and a fuser, and fused those pipes together so the oil and the gas could flow through that. Now, how many of you know when you're digging, setting up oil wells and gas wells, the thing that you're after is increase. And the thing that brings the increase, that causes the increase, is the gas and the oil. The gas and the oil is what the investors want to see. It's what the drillers want to see. It's what the landowner wants to see. And that is the power. That's the resource. That's what you're after. But you can't get the oil and the gas unless the oil and the gas has a pipeline to flow through it. So the pipeline is necessary, but you never hear people at the end saying, wow, what awesome 2-inch plastic piping that was. No, that well was awesome. That made a lot of money. That produced a lot of oil. That produced a lot of gas. Even though that's true, you brag on the oil, you brag on the gas, but the pipeline was necessary. Our faith is necessary. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. It was God's grace, His mercy, His power, His love that got you saved. But it says in Ephesians that through faith, grace you were saved, but that grace had to flow through something, and it flowed through your faith. We don't brag on you for getting saved, but you had a part to play. Praise God. And I had a part to play on Sunday. And I'm convinced, had I not been prepared, praise the Lord, I am convinced the outcome would have been very different. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know in every test, our answers matter. Amen. When we see Jesus in the wilderness, when we see Him walking through that test in Luke chapter 4, the thing that caused Him to pass was His answers. The test came, and Jesus answered that test right, and the devil ended up leaving Him past the test. Amen. Jesus passed the test. But we also have to know something. People that passed the test came to the test ready.
Yes, that's good.
Jesus didn't come to that test unprepared.
Right.
If you remember in Luke chapter 4, it says, and Jesus being full of the world.
No,
it didn't say that. Jesus being full of spiritual laziness. No, the Bible says Jesus being full of God. He came ready, full of God. Jesus entered that test ready, and then the right answers flowed out of Him. So many people, when the tests begin to start pressing on them, the wrong answers flow out of them. Jesus didn't say in Mark 9:23, all things are possible if I decide to do them for you. He didn't say all things are possible if you're a Christian. He said all things are possible in Mark 9:23 to the one that believes or the one that has faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4 doesn't say this is the victory that overcomes the world if you're a Christian. If you're a churchgoer, then you overcome the world. No. It says your faith determines whether or not you overcome the world. What is he saying? Your response, your answer determines. And I've said this a couple weeks ago, during this test and trial, how you respond will be how your finances look, how your situation looks. And when the tests come that haven't arrived yet on the shore and at your doorstep, how you respond will determine how it's turned out or not.
Right.
Amen. We have precedent in the Word of people responding wrong. The children of Israel went through a test.
Yeah.
Caleb and Joshua had the right answer. We can do this. We can overcome. And they ended up overcoming and getting through that test, didn't they? And all the rest of them said, we can't do it. It's hard. And God didn't just say, oh, I'll give you a free pass. No, they didn't have faith. They didn't make it through.
Right.
Amen. I want you to be victorious. That's why I shout at you and yell at you and fire, get you fired up and encourage you, because I know more tests are coming.
That's right.
I know more tests are coming, and we have to be ready.
Amen.
Let me just say it this way. There are going to be tests. Now, I just got done telling you, Jesus said it's all possible if you can believe. If you can have faith, you can overcome. Amen.
Amen.
It's up to you, praise God. That's one thing I love about Christianity. It's like tennis.
Yes.
It's like golf.
Yeah.
It's like bowling.
Yeah.
What are golf, bowling, and tennis? All the sports that you succeed or don't succeed based on what you do. I unfortunately played a sport that had 8 other people on the field, baseball. Didn't matter if I went 4 for 4. Didn't matter if I made a ton of plays at shortstop. If everybody else didn't hit, if everybody else made errors, I would be a loser that day. With Christianity, it rises and falls on what you do with God's Word. Don't you think that anybody can hold you down? There's no person, there's no demon, there's no devil anywhere that can stop you if you'll do things God's way. If you'll do things by the Word and operate and exercise in faith, praise God, you will overcome. Glory to God, because all things are possible to the one that responds right, to the one that acts right, praise God. And this is what I want you to know. There are going to be tests, and you might be in one right now. There are going to be tests in your life where faith is your only way out. Where your answer, where there's no money coming down the line from a family member, where there's no extra bank account or some secret sock drawer or some secret stash you got in the backyard, where there's a sickness that comes onto your life and they don't have an answer for, they don't have a vaccine for, they don't have a pill for, they don't have a treatment for, where the doctors use words like impossible, like the word incurable, and there's nothing on planet Earth to grab onto. And the only thing that's going to get you through that problem is your faith.
Amen.
So we better make sure that we are taking time in the spirit realm to build our faith.
That's right. Amen.
It's true. Praise God.
Yeah.
Remember the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 25? Mark chapter 5, go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says a certain woman, Mark 5, 25, which had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now you're going to see in verse 26, she exhausted all her natural measures.
Yeah.
What did I just get done telling you? There's going to be times where there's not going to be a natural help in sight. There's not going to be, it's going to be God or nothing. Amen. It's like you're so far out on a limb with him, that thing's bobbing up and down because he is your only way out. There's going to be times like that.
Yeah.
It says, a certain woman with issue of blood 12 years suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Desperate.
Yeah.
Exhausted all the natural measures. What am I trying to say? This was one of those impossible situations. One of those incurable situations. One of those there's no hope situations. These what in the world am I going to do situations. And the Bible says when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body. She was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned about him in the press and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, Lord, you see the multitude thronging and touching you, and you ask who touches you. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, the only thing that was even remotely possible for you to come out of this, you did it right. Daughter, your faith. What does 1 John 5 verse 4 say? Whatsoever, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our, your personal faith. Rise and fall on what you do. And Jesus said, lady, lady, your faith did this. No doctor could help you. No financial advisor could help you. No job could help you. No medicine could help you. There was one thing that was going to get you out of this problem and make you whole, and it was your faith. Praise God. I've been in tests and trials like that. You've been in them and will be in those. Why? The more we increase and go with God, the greater the pressure is going to be. The devil wants to keep us out, praise God, but we're moving in. He can't keep us out. We're going to kick him out, praise God. We're taking land from him, not the other way around, praise God. But this is what I want you to see. Go to Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10, 17, we talk about this verse a lot around here. So faith's how we overcome. It's our faith, our answer, our reaction, praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, you're all being quiet out here. Come on now. James Mays is asleep over there. Literally, the picture I got of him is he's asleep. Come on, liven up around here, would ya? Praise God. Romans 10, 17. Come on now, everybody watching, just by faith right now, give me a big old fat amen. Woo, I know I felt it. Praise God. I trust you did. Glory to God. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh. Faith cometh, that overpowering, that victory. When there's no hope, there's hope. There's faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Amen. Now let me say this. Faith, you can't live without it. That's right. We don't have time to look at all the cases, but there's a lot of cases in the Bible where faith was the only answer. Yeah. Think of Abraham, blind Bartimaeus, the Syrophoenician, on and on and on. Caleb and Joshua. I mean, believe in God. Trust in God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Faith is what you need. Sometimes it's your only answer. Your only answer is faith. But here's what I want you to see in Romans 10, 17. You can't separate faith from hearing and hearing. You can't say, I have faith, if you are also not in a position of hearing and hearing. How do I know? The word tells me. Faith cometh, how? Hearing and hearing. Take away the hearing and hearing, guess what else disappears? The faith disappears. Why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. You can't separate the two. Praise God. So the first PMA guideline is this. Every day, we need to spend time in God's Word. Why? It's how we can assure faith to come, and it's how we can assure faith to stay. Praise God. And so every single day, be in God's Word. Pastor Mike, this is so simple. If it was so simple, why aren't you doing it then?
Oh, that's good.
Come on now, I'm not trying to be mean. I don't want to turn all these smiles on all your faces into frowns here. You can't separate faith, the faith that we need for the tests that are coming, the pop quizzes, from hearing and hearing. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4 and verse 4. And then I'm going to talk a little bit further about my test and how I'm so thankful this stuff was put in me and I was prepared. Matthew 4 and verse 4. I mean, the last thing I expected on Easter morning was to be laying face down on the floor, unable to move, in the worst pain I've ever experienced. That's a true story. I know you saw me up here jumping around on Sunday, and you see me up here jumping around, and you think, this can't be true. No, it's true. I would not lie to you. I am telling you, this happened. And I guess during the sermon, I'm not trying to embarrass you, buddy. I'm just pointing out your heart, you know. I guess Caleb was crying pretty good when he saw his daddy up here moving around. He was just so glad that I was doing well. I know Abby felt the same way, and so praise God. But Matthew 4:4, because when I left, I wasn't doing good. And they saw me in a pretty bad position. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live. Now, we got to stop there real quick. Live, that word live there is not talking about a heartbeat. It's not talking about, you know, having blood flowing through your veins and a heartbeat and a pulse and things like that. It's the word zoe. It's the same word in John chapter 10 and verse 10 where Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. What kind of life? The God kind of life. The divine nature of God. The life as God enjoys it, one translation puts it. So Jesus is saying, man can't live this way. Man can't truly enjoy the life of God. Man can't truly experience life as God has it, or another way the Bible calls it, heaven on earth. Days of heaven on the earth. We know that's biblical. Jesus prayed, Father, your will be done on this earth just like it is in heaven. Well, what's going on in heaven? Joy, victory, peace, a supply, healing, praise God. That's what abundant life is. It's not only being spiritually right with God, it's walking in the things of heaven on the earth, walking in a full supply, walking in divine healing, walking in peace and victory and joy. And Jesus tells us, man cannot live or walk in abundant life by bread alone. He's saying, you can't experience this from the natural realm alone. He says, but it can happen by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Talking about being in God's word. Hallelujah. Well, we looked at the verse before in Romans 10:17 that told us when we hear or feed upon the word, faith comes. What does faith cause us to do? Overcome sickness, overcome poverty, overcome depression, overcome fear. If we don't have faith, we can't live an abundant life because the faith, 1 John 5:4 says, is the victory that overcomes the world. Take away faith, you take away your overcoming ability. And then you're just stuck with depression. Then you're just stuck with what the world gives in sickness. Then you're just stuck with what the world gives in poverty. But if you have faith, but you can't have faith without the word, you can't overcome. Overcoming is the abundant life. When sickness comes and you overcome it, walk into healing, that's abundant life. When poverty's at your doorstep and you walk and you use your faith and overcome, that's abundant life. When depression's plagued you and you walk it out in the word and you walk into joy and victory, that's abundant life. But you can't have overcoming or abundant life apart from faith, and you can't have faith apart from the word of God. Now let me explain my test. So I'm laying, well, let's pick up the story. Pastor Mike's laying on the floor. The scene is that I'm writhing in pain, let out a yell. Kids are bawling. Courtney's, what in the world's going on? You know, I'm such a jokester. Caleb's like, I remember the one time, Dad, you told me you had cut your finger really bad, but you really just had ketchup all over your hand. So that's the kind of stuff that goes around on in my house. So on Easter morning, when I'm laying there on face down on my stomach, the first reaction is, get up, you faker. But I wasn't faking. I couldn't move. And so they're crying and everything. And I told them to leave, said, Court, take them back to the living room. I'm going to figure this out. And my first response, because I was already running late, I was thinking, oh my gosh, Easter Sunday, I can't move right now. My natural, logical brain's first response was, who's going to preach today? So I got my phone, called Pastor Scott. My phone was laying right next to me. Called Pastor Scott, told him what happened, said, I can't move. I'll keep you posted. And when I hung up the phone with him, I was able then to take some inventory. I was all by myself on Easter morning, laying there unable to move. I didn't know if I had seriously injured my back. I didn't know if by moving, I had all sorts of thoughts that if I move, I'm going to injure it even more. I mean, it was just flooding in. And I'm laying there, and I remember on that the way the hardwood floor felt on my cheek as I'm laying there because I can't move. This is what it looked like. And all of a sudden, I started saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I knew in my heart that God had given me a word for Easter morning. Not that what Pastor Scott would have preached wouldn't have been a blessing, but I knew I had a specific word for Sunday morning. That so many people have said that has blessed them and changed their life. And if you listen to that sermon, it'll bless you and change your life. Not the preacher, not the preaching, but the word that came out that day. And I knew I had a word from heaven. I knew I had an appointment to preach that word on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday. And I'm laying there, and all sorts of thoughts and feelings are going through my head and through my body. It's the truth, praise God. And up from my spirit, here's what you have to understand. Remember what I said, that our answer is what determines. And our faith, and faith comes from the Word. Well, think about what Pastor Mike had been meditating in all up until that point. Well, we had a Good Friday service where I talked about what? Jesus on the cross and what that healing meant to us and how the cross brought healing. And then what did I preach on Sunday morning? The power of God. Well, I didn't just come up with those sermons 5 minutes before service and just preach them. I had been marinating and meditating in our Good Friday service all week, marinating and meditating in what the cross meant for healing, and He took my sickness, and marinating and meditating on what I was going to share Easter Sunday, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if it raised Jesus from the dead, it can stink and raise me up this hardwood floor on Easter morning. And those thoughts started coming in, and I started to talk, oh, this is a true story. Because I think what people are thinking is, well, it just might have been something you tweaked a little bit, then it went away, and that's how you got here. No, I'll get into that. I'm laying there for 15 minutes. At least 15 minutes. And I start to say out loud, Jesus, Jesus, same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Father, I have an appointment today. I know I'm supposed to preach this message. Father, I know You took this sickness. You're bigger than this. You're more powerful. And faith started to flow out of me. Well, why are You so amazing? No, the Word's amazing. And I filled myself with the Word. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What was in my heart? Power of God scriptures. What was in my heart? Healing scriptures. And it began to flow out of me. Well, I know this, that faith always has action with it. James chapter 2 talks about faith without works is dead. When we're in faith, we should be in expectation of things, right? When a person gets a positive on a pregnancy test, they say what? I'm expecting. And they not only say I'm expecting this, they do things in the natural that show us they're expecting. What do? They go buy baby clothes. They get a nursery ready. They talk to their jobs. They start planning things. Why? They're in expectation of what they can't see happening. Well, I knew I'm supposed to preach. I am not missing Easter service when God gave me a word and we need to preach this. And what an opportunity to get the word out to so many people. It was an attack. It was a storm. But that's how the devil works. He comes in seasons. He comes with tests. The last thing the devil wanted me to do was to stand up here Sunday morning and talk about how the power that defeated him once and for all dwells in you and is directed towards you and will bless you and change your life. The devil did not want me up here spitting that out. And I'm laying there and it's coming out of me, and so I yell because I can't move still. I said, Court, bring me a chair, because I can't get up on my own, and I want her to be with the kids, because she would have helped me up. But I, bring me a chair. And I'm laying there, and I'm saying out loud, I'm getting up. Amen. I'm getting up. What did the woman with the issue of blood say? If I just touch his garment, I'll be whole. The Bible said in the Amplified of Mark chapter 5, it says she kept saying, if I just touch him, if I just touch him. And I'm telling you, I'm laying there, and I'm saying, and she puts the chair there, and I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, I can't get up on my own. I'm at least going to have to try to prop myself up on this chair. And every time I would move just an inch, I'm telling you the pain that went through me. And I'll tell you how much the pain went through me here in a second. I finally got my arm up onto a chair, and I am hurting, and I am moaning, and I am groaning. And I'm saying, I'm not missing church. I'm not missing church. I'm not missing church. Faith has action.
Amen.
Well, to make a long story short, I had to have Court come in because I needed to change and get into a suit, and I couldn't do any of that. And so I finally got stood up, and I know what people would think, well, that just must have been a random thing. And it just, when I stood up, Courtney said, you are white as a ghost. I am telling you, I was shaking, physically shaking, and my body was freezing cold. I was in so much pain, I can't even describe to you. I finally got up, finally was had with help put a suit on. I couldn't do anything. It took me forever to walk to my truck. Getting up in my truck was about the worst pain. None of the pain had gone away. But I knew that if I put my faith, I knew I was supposed to be here. I know there's times you should lay there and you should go to the doctor and should go to the emergency room, but I knew where I was supposed to be. I had a word from heaven. Praise God. I wasn't going to be denied. And so her bringing the chair was my act of faith. Me getting a hand up on that chair was an act of faith. And when I stood up, she said, "You look like you're going to pass out. You're white as a ghost." And I felt like it. And I'm trembling, like literally shaking. My body's hurting so bad. And I got tears in my eyes because of the pain. And my body's freezing cold. And I get in my truck. And I'm pulling out of my drive, my garage. And I have to make a turn, and I did a slight just turn of my arm, and the pain just from the head to my toes went through me and down through my back. It was one of the worst car rides I have ever experienced. It rivals when my appendix exploded and I was dumb enough to drive 25 minutes to Warren General Hospital from Jamestown. And get to the church, you know, and the pain's the same. And when I went up on stage after doing announcements, when I stepped up on the stage to put the microphone back in place and grab my guitar, the pain that went through my back, and I was thinking, I don't know how I'm going to play guitar. And I got the guitar around me, and I started to play the music. And when we got to Because He Lives, the last song, I was so emotional because the pain in my body was gone. Completely gone. And I got emotional and I had to step back so I wasn't crying while I was singing. And just I was just in so much awe of him because the anointing and the power of God had hit me. Well, when I was laying there, I had a choice. Pastor Scott, just go fill in for me. Court, call the ambulance. I can't do this. But I knew some things. Some things were put in me. Some things were in my heart. If I hadn't been meditating on the power of God in healing, the outcome could have been very different. I can't do this. I can't go to church today. I can't. How am I going to stand up there and preach the word? How am I going to drive to church today? All those things, but things were in me. What was in me? The life of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. I had been meditating and marinating on the power of God and the healing power of Jesus on that cross for a week straight. Morning, afternoon, and night. And so when the test came, Pastor Mike was ready for it. Amen. And I answered that, praise God. Hallelujah. I answered that, but it came from the faith that was put in me. How was faith the response? Started with the hearing. It started with the meditating in the Word. If you go back and look at the woman with the issue of blood, what does the Bible say about her? When she heard of Jesus, she acted. You know where she got that faith from? The hearing. When you get around the Word, see, I'm not much of a reader, Pastor Mike. We got tons of archives. Pastor Nancy's got tons of archives. There's people, the people, the camps that we're in have the Word, you know? And if you're a part of this church, you should be listening to the archives from your pastor because God's telling me stuff to speak that is pertaining to your life right now. Feed on the others too, absolutely. But be listening to the archives. We have opportunities to feed. And I had been feeding. And so the right answer came out of me.
Praise God.
A lot of people are going through financial tests right now. Physical scary. Why wasn't I afraid? I'll tell you why I wasn't afraid of the coronavirus, and still I'm not afraid of the coronavirus. Every single day I speak this over my kids. Every single day I speak this over my family, my churches, and my life. I say, Father, I thank you. I'm blessed, highly favored, mighty on this earth. Hallelujah. I say, angels go before me and bear me up in your hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I say, no evil befalls me and no plague comes near my dwelling. Every day I'm around that word, putting that word in me. So when something like the coronavirus comes, what comes out of me? No evil will befall me and no plague will come near my dwelling. Praise God. Why are some people so afraid they haven't taken time to put healing in them? Haven't taken time to put the physical things. Why are some people just completely terrified because their pay's been cut in half or even more? Because they haven't taken the time. And their response is wrong because they didn't put the right in them. And you only overcome by your response, praise God. Now, I want to say this in closing. We're going to close here. What you have to understand about being around this word, see, we can now build our faith now to get through this test. But what about when the next test shows up? There I was Easter Sunday morning, have a church and people that are depending on me bringing them a word from heaven. You know, you ought to expect from your pastor a feeding. A good pastor feeds his sheep. You ought to expect every time I step in this pulpit that you're going to get something, just like I expect every time I step in this pulpit that you're going to be hungry for it, amen, that you're going to be ready for it. But it's a working relationship. You ought to expect some things out of me. You ought to expect that I'm on my face praying and hearing from heaven. You ought to expect that I'm marinating in the Word. You ought to expect I have a word from God. And I knew people are waiting on Easter Sunday for a word from heaven. And a trial, one of the biggest physical trials ever, came out of nowhere, got me, but I was ready for the pop quiz because I had been prepared.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And that faith in me was that put in there by the Word came out of me even enough to say, yep, get a chair, we're getting up. Oh, that pain, I don't care. God's power is going to meet me eventually. Sometimes you got to step out when you can't see anything to step on, and right when you make the step, the platform comes under you. That's what faith is. You walk by faith, not by sight. Glory to God. I've made financial things and committed to financial things by the leading of the Holy Ghost. Let me say that, by the leading of the Holy Ghost, when the money wasn't there naturally, but God told me to do it, and the faith was in me, and I did it, and the money was there. Right? Praise God. It's happened before. Hallelujah. I could tell physical things, financial things, things with the church. Believe in God when you can't see it. But that faith came from the Word.
Amen.
Now, here's what you have to understand about this meditation of the Word. Jesus said, you'll not live by bread alone, but by every word. Abundant life comes from the Word, starts from the Word. Faith starts from the Word.
Amen.
Faith, we look at faith, oh, big time overcoming faith. Yeah, but faith needed to be birthed by the Word, the knowledge of the Word, praise God. And in closing, let me just stress this to you. You will not get an overwhelming feeling in your flesh to want to be in the Word of God. Let me just announce to the world. You're going to think, my goodness, why is this guy a pastor? And I'm just telling you the truth. My flesh, my emotions, my feelings get way more excited to watch a football game than to sit down and watch a live stream archive. My flesh. My flesh gets way more excited for chips and dip than feeding on God's Word. My flesh does. Well, the Bible says, and if you're that way, don't feel bad, because I don't feel bad about it. Because I don't have to give in to my flesh. My flesh is not the real me, my spirit is. But Galatians 5 and verse 17 says that the spirit, the real you, and your flesh are at war, contrary to one another. What's that say? Your flesh is not going to want to do what your spirit wants to do. And your flesh, because it's the outward man, and can be so loud and make so much noise at times. So with that being said, I don't give in to the chips and dip all the time. I don't give in to the football game all the time. I know the value of what needs to be put in me, because I can't live without God's Word. Not because he's checking off some box of, are you religious enough or not, or have you read your Bible enough? Reading your Bible does nothing for him.
Right.
He already sent you Jesus, whether you read your Bible or don't read your Bible for the rest of your life. But meditating his Word, it changes you.
Yeah.
Gotta get that religious by works mentality. He already loves you as much as he's ever gonna love you. But your measure of faith, your measure of belief and victory in the abundant life that you walk into can't be separated from God's Word. You know, it's like this. This is the way I can think of it. When Caleb was 7 years old, in Pennsylvania you can hunt when you're 7 years old. It's called youth mentor hunting. If they go with an older adult that has a hunting license, the adult carries the gun. Time to shoot, the kid can shoot. And when he was 7 years old, I surprised him with a brand new rifle. Now, when you're 7 years old, and this was not in hunting season, or really anywhere close to hunting season, when you get a surprise gift as a seven-year-old, you want to be able to play with it. You want to be able to use it right away. And when you can't, even though it's a great blessing, it's a financially big blessing, Caleb's very good about one time. Caleb was at his, we made sure to tell him, now his grandparents, aunts and uncles galore, cousins giving him presents, and we made sure to tell him before, now listen, when you open the ones that are long and flat, those are going to be clothes. When you get clothes, you got to act happy too. Because let's be honest, the clothes are not as fun as the Legos and the Nerf guns. And so I said, you got to be just as excited. And Caleb, with his sweetheart, he took it a little too far, laid it out too thick, and he would open that first tree and say, oh, a shirt, yes! I'm so excited. And he wasn't being sarcastic. He was just trying to put it on. But you want a toy to play with. And this gun was going to have to be something, wait till we can get a day to go to the range, wait till we can get a day to go hunting with it. It was something he's just going to look at. Can't do anything with it. Or if you give him a Nerf gun, man, he can go around shooting us in the house and shooting targets in the house right away. So he gets that gun and he acts excited, while his little sister, at the same time, Abby, she got a little frozen Elsa little big wheels thing that you put a battery in and it goes, and she can get in that thing and ride around right away. And you could just kind of tell that it's a little, like, kind of a letdown. You know, it's kind of like when a kid gets a winter coat for a present. You get a kid a winter coat for a present in the summer, it's like, the heck? I got robbed. But you know what? When that snow starts flying, and his friends and her friends are going down that hill or making snowmen outside, oh, they're so glad that they have that coat then. It's the same way with the Word. There's not a lot of pomp and circumstance when you sit down in your private place at home to get into God's Word, to listen to a message. It's way more exciting to feed your face. It's way more exciting to go out in the yard and play and do stuff. It's way more exciting to the flesh to watch something on TV, to watch an exciting TV show, something that tickles the flesh and makes your flesh excited. It's really good. But when the rubber meets the road and hell shows up on your front door, those things are not going to carry you through.
That's right.
And when you get into the Word, it might not be super exciting to your flesh, and it might not have the pomp and circumstance, but when hell shows up, just like when that deer walked by him, oh, he was glad he had that gun. Oh, that kid's glad when the snow starts flying that they got the winter coat to put on. Praise God. So I encourage you, you got to renew your mind to the fact that you need the Word. Joshua 1:8 says, let the Word not depart from your midst. Meditate in it day and night, for the result will be prosperity and good success. Why? If you're in the Word day and night, your faith's being built up so much, you are just a walking, talking overcomer. Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed are they which walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but their delight is in the law, or the word of God, and in that law they do meditate day and night. For they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatever they do shall prosper.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Proverbs 4, we might as well just keep going. Proverbs 4 says in verse 20, my son, daughters included, attend to my words. Attend to my words. Have good attendance with the Word. Even though it's not exciting, you're going to need it someday. Attend to my word. Incline your own ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. Everybody say life.
Life.
Life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I know sometimes sitting down can be like a winter coat for my birthday in the summer. You're jipping me off here. Come on, God. Why doesn't my flesh feel as excited as I do when I watch a movie? But oh boy. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to renew your mind to this, that tests are coming. Faith's your answer, and you can't separate faith from the Word. So my prayer for each and every one of you, you'd say, okay, I'm making changes right now. I am going to make it every day. Remember what Jesus said, and I'll just finish with this. Remember what he said in Matthew 6:11? He said, give us this day our once a week bread.
Oh, come on.
Remember, he likened the Word to spiritual bread. There's natural bread. There's spiritual food. Give us this day our monthly bread. Give us this day our couple times a week bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We need it every single day. It will translate into some things. And when the tests come, I'll tell you what, when I was laying there, and the feelings and the fear and the thoughts that were coming, I was so glad that from my spirit came, wait a second, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead's in me. If it raised him from the dead, it can surely raise me up from this. I was so glad that I knew Jesus. And I said it all. I said, Jesus, you already took this back pain. Praise God. And then I got up there worshiping and the power of God hit me. And you saw me dancing around and looking stupid up here, backwards walking and high-kneeing, bending over. Praise God. But it started with the word. Praise God. So be a doer of it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Oh, we are blessed. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and praise you. Magnify you tonight, Father. Thank you for your precious word. The word is a compass to us, a GPS. The word causes faith to be birthed in us. Faith causes us to overcome, glory to God. We praise you tonight, Father. We magnify you. Lord, my prayer for each and every person that tuned into this service, that heard this service, is that they'd be doers of this word. That they let that word get in them and grow and be strong. And when tests come, they'll answer in faith. They'll answer in overcoming. They'll answer in victory, praise God. Just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, you've given us the recipe. The first guideline of the PMA guidelines. Every day, spend time in God's word. Just the same way we feed our natural man every single day, we need to feed our spiritual man every single day. We need that realm to be strong and well-nourished. And unfortunately, many Christians are malnourished and are weak and are sickly and are anorexic spiritually. And so when they step into a ring with a very trained and skilled and strong in what he does spiritually into the devil's arena, they don't have much to bring to that fight. No, we're going to start to build ourselves up. We're going to start to recognize that, hey, these tests are real. These things come. And our faith gets us through, or our lack of faith helps us or causes us to fail. Father, I thank you people get the revelation of it, be doers of the word. Now I want to finish the service tonight with this because I don't know who all is viewing and tuning in. But the word brings us life. It causes faith to rise up in us. The greatest thing that the Word promised us and showed us that we could have was eternal life. We can go to heaven and be with God forever. The Bible says if we'll receive Jesus, that's what the Word says. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In John 3:16, he said that God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. The Bible tells us, God's word gives us the greatest life ever. It gives us eternal life. And it's a free gift. It doesn't come by church membership. It doesn't come by perfect church attendance. It doesn't come through generosity and charitable works. It doesn't come through your good deeds outweighing your bad. And it's not kept from you, eternal life and salvation, from bad church attendance. It's not kept from you for being a cheapskate. It's not kept from you for your bad deeds outweighing your good deeds. What you do with Jesus determines eternal life. And the Bible says there's two things you must do to receive him. You must believe and receive. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. There's two things you have to do. You have to believe it and confess that belief. So I want to ask everybody viewing and tuning in right now to bow your heads and to close your eyes. Participate with me. And again, I won't hold it against all these people in the seats right now that are keeping their eyes open. We're going to give you a break tonight. Praise God. But at home, go ahead and close your eyes. Although I do see James over there in the corner over there. He is obeying it tonight with the closing your eyes thing. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. If you want to receive Jesus tonight, and what does that mean? That means you get to be God's child. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, if you receive Jesus, you become a child of God. He's the greatest dad. He's the most powerful dad. He's the most loving dad. He's the kindest dad. He's the dad with the biggest supply. He's the dad with the biggest amount of healing for you. I mean, he's just got it all, protection, everything. He loves you so much. That's the family to be in. But you must receive Jesus to get there. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor Mike, I believe in him, but I've never received him. I've never officially asked Jesus in my heart. I thought maybe church attendance would get me in, or just that I knew of him, or that I've been a decent person my whole life, or I thought I could never accept it because I've been bad and I've not done good things. No, no, no. If you believe in Jesus tonight, heaven is waiting at your doorstep. So if you want to receive Jesus tonight, you just go ahead. We're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm just going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me, and I'm going to ask you to mean it with all your heart. And the context of that prayer is going to be declaring your belief in him and asking him into your heart. So let's go ahead and let's pray. Everybody say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the very first time, send me an email, give me a phone call, let me know. I want to talk to you about what that means for you fully, and what that means for you going forward, and what your next step is. For all of us, I encourage you, make tonight a new start for you. Feed yourself. You know, we'll have bedtime snacks of regular food. At least I do, and I know my kids do, and a lot of you do as well. Let's have a bedtime spiritual snack tonight. And it might not seem exciting, and it might not seem like, what do I need it now? But someday when you're laying on the ground, someday when your finances went to heck, someday when the world's threatening you, you're going to be so glad you put that word in you, because it birthed faith in you and you responded right and you walked into victory. Praise God. Well, let's stand to our feet together and let's worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you we're coming out of this situation better than ever before. Father, you're putting things in us, opportunities to believe you, to trust you, to watch us work. Devil, you're going to get double for your trouble. We thank you we're going to be more blessed. We're going to be stronger. We're going to be in a better position personally and these two churches than ever before. And Father, we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
I love you. I appreciate you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You are dismissed. Impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open.